Hear you lead today and enter the world of Hilt Radio. We'll take you on an epic journey through the magic of all things Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars, from the movies to the parks and everything in between. It's time to take you to Disney and beyond with your hosts, Brittany and Liam DeCosimo.
And Mommy too.
Whoa, what is this nonsense? 2 weeks back to back, it's like we're coming back with a vengeance. So welcome back to another episode of Hilt Radio. I am your host, Liam.
I'm Brittany.
We're excited to have you guys back on this episode 345. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It's like, our catalog is pretty nuts.
Yeah, even taking a year off, that's still pretty impressive. Because you got to figure now, at this point, we had started in 2015. And for you, it was only like 34 episodes in. I think you were on, and that was beginning of 2016. It was February of 2016. So even at that point, this is 5 years that you've been on the show, 6 years the show's been on in total.
Oh, right. So, we're in 2021. I'm like, no, it's only been 4 years, Liam.
Yeah. No. The time has progressed.
We are already in February of 2021.
Yeah.
Wow. You would think that time would go by slow being locked at home.
No, not so much. Not anymore anyway. But we're excited to have you guys back. You know, one of the things that we touched on briefly in the last episode that we really wanted to expand upon in today's episode is that we're going to take the show in a slightly different direction, because one of the things that we had really bounced back and forth during the hiatus, if you will, for the show was what did we see going forward? And I think that we didn't want to limit ourselves to only talking about Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel, because it's not that that's our only interest. We do enjoy other things. So we'll probably update the intro at some point. Don't worry, we'll still keep the music because I know you guys love the music. But we did want to kind of expand our horizons a little bit and just not pigeonhole ourselves into not being able to talk about certain things. And I think the ultimate thing that led to that was understanding that this, for us, is more than just a podcast for our friends and our family to listen to, but this is for our children and for them to really have a catalog of what did mom and dad think about and what did mom and dad talk about, and to really have a audio representation of not just us, but for them. Like, you guys have heard Remy on the show before. As Eowyn continues to develop and learn to talk, we'd love to have her on. You know, we got to upgrade the equipment so we can have four microphones running simultaneously. But, you know, have a catalog for them so that way they can go back and listen to, you know, what were their favorite shows? What were their favorite games? What were the things that they were into? And have that catalog as we move forward, you know, for our kids, for their kids, and so on and so forth. I'm fortunate that I have an audio catalog from the music and the narration that I've done. But this would be more expansive. This is more personal, I think, because you really get to hear our thoughts and opinions on things.
Well, it's home movies in a sense, you know?
For sure.
People still do that. I mean, people have YouTube channels now. And we've talked so many times, like, oh, why don't we have a YouTube channel? Let's do that. Because at the end of the day, we just don't have the time.
Yeah, not at all.
Yes, we could video ourselves, but I feel like it's time consuming when you have to set things up. You have to edit it all down. We don't know how to do that, so we'd have to learn it. I'm sure we could learn it, but I don't know. I feel like as you're trying to make memories, you're kind of taking away from your memories as you're, you know, trying to record them. I don't know why. That's just the vibe I get from YouTube. And I could be completely wrong. Some of you guys might be YouTubers and you're like, no, not at all. You're crazy. It's such a great, you know, thing to look back on. Would I love to have our own channel one day? Sure. I'm not saying that it's not going to ever happen, because I think we've tossed that idea back and forth every year. We're like, let's start a channel. I just don't have that extra time. I don't want to put forth that extra time. With podcasting, there's not a lot that goes into it. Once you know it, it's so simple. It's just us having a conversation. We wait for us. We have to wait till either the kids are napping or occupied with something else. So we're not taking away from our family time. And more than likely, Remy will join us on these episodes. And like you said, Eowyn, once she starts talking, will join us as well. And they will get to hear themselves, what they like, like you said, and this is our home movies. This will be our legacy in a sense. So way down the road when we're not around, you know, they get to go back and think about, you know, how their parents were big goobers.
Yeah. Well, and I think that there's something intimately more personal when you only hear the audio, right? When it's a visual thing as well, there is distractions. There's other things that are happening.
Right.
And a lot of the times when it is a show, when it's a YouTube show, there's more of a, don't want to say like a facsimile, but there is something about it that seems produced. It doesn't feel as organic and as natural as just the conversations that you and I have right here. Because these are the conversations you and I have in the kitchen. You know what I mean?
It is. It is.
This is just us sitting upstairs in the bedroom while we do it.
Yeah, it's very, the only things that get edited out are when we have to take breaks because one of the kids either, you know, needs something to eat or is waking up from a nap. You know, you guys aren't not like hearing anything, you know, behind the scenes.
Yeah.
This is just a natural conversation. So yeah, like you said, it's not as produced. I mean, I know you make my voice sound a little bit better.
Oh, of course.
Because gosh knows it needs it.
Well, otherwise you sound like Minnie Mouse. So, you know, I have to produce it out of that upper range.
What's wrong with Minnie Mouse?
For me, I have to edit out my lisp. So, you know.
You actually sound really different. Yeah. Like
100%. I have this more deep lower baritone voice when people actually listen to the show, but it's nowhere near this at all.
No, you have a really high falsetto.
I sound like Chris Colfer from Glee, you know? It's like way up here.
That would be fun. I think it would work for a lot of your books.
Oh yeah. Oh, they'd love that. But I really wanted to talk about, and I think we briefly talked about it last week and then completely got derailed because there was so much to talk about and we really were trying to squeeze it into like that hour mark. But one thing I really wanted to talk about was Disney Plus has really hit on like every mark, like whether it was, you know, giving us access to old TV shows we haven't seen in a while, old movies, brand new content, brand new licensed content, you know what I mean? Like bringing in content that wasn't originally theirs that is now...
Things from National Geographic, from Fox.
Yeah. I think just having things like Simpsons, right? It's huge. Dinosaurs just recently got added.
Yeah.
Like the TV show. Dun, 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 yeah. Dun, dun, dun. You know, like things like that, I think are really, really, really cool to have access to all in one place. You know, like we don't have to jump around that much to other streaming services because it is easy to default and go to go to Disney Plus. And if anything, I'd almost say I use Disney Plus and Hulu more than Netflix now.
Whereas
Netflix was absolutely the go-to streaming service.
It was.
And more recently, even Apple has tracked on our radar a bit more than... You know, because we only recently got the free year trial to it.
I want to say it's been a few months. We've maybe like less than 6 months for sure that we've had Apple TV, but we're enjoying it so far. We'll get into that a little bit later. I'd say let's dive into more Disney Plus. Let's stick to what people come to this show for. And then we'll give you a taste of what we want to talk about, like things that we are enjoying in our lives every day. Because like we said, we do enjoy more than just Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel, even though it is like shocking.
Right. 100%. And if anything, it allows us to branch out our interests a little bit. And then maybe for you guys that have been wanting to branch out your interests, this will give you at least an idea of what else is out there. And that way, you know, sometimes it saves people the search, right? You don't have to, you know, sit there clicking through everything, waiting for a trailer or reading about it. You know, this will hopefully give you guys some recommendations, especially during quarantine.
So many shows have come from like good recommendations from friends. Like, what have you guys been watching? Okay, let's try it out. And either we love it or we hate it. But more than likely, we watch something because we heard somebody else was watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
to kick it off, right, with the Disney Plus stuff, what would you say right now is your favorite thing Disney Plus has offered? Like, what's your favorite thing that you've seen, whether it's TV show or movie, revival, remake, what would it be?
I mean, that's an obvious answer. It's WandaVision. If it's not WandaVision for any of you out there, you're wrong. I'm telling you now. No, right? Because it is on air. We just got the fourth episode.
Yep.
I keep thinking it's the third because they put those two out that
back
first week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are already on the fourth episode. We're halfway through. Yeah.
Well, it's out of nine. So this will be 9 episodes. So I think that's why they did the first two back to back. So that way it would be 8 weeks of, premieres. So yeah. So we are we're about halfway at this point, which we kind of knew this was going to be the bomb drop.
Right. So WandaVision for sure. And I think we have to dive into it a little bit. I don't think we could just say, we like WandaVision. Let's move on to something else. No, right. I think people want to hear what are our thoughts and kind of just get into what the heck is happening in this show.
Yes.
So before we jump in, this will be a little bit of spoilers. We'll try not to go too heavy.
But it's spoiler of the episode. Like, obviously, we haven't seen the series in its entirety. I mean, Kevin offered it to us, but we were really like, you know what? We don't want to spoil it for everybody out there. So we would rather. Well, we said it. We told him. We appreciated it, but we wanted
to
experience.
Fairness.
Well, we wanted to have that experience with everyone else. It's hard to talk about something when you already know how it ends.
Most of our shows, we don't have people to experience it with because we are so behind the times when it comes to shows. Usually years worth, not months, years behind the times.
Yeah, like what's your favorite Game of Thrones episode? Oh, that's right. We haven't watched it.
I don't plan to. Is that still on your radar?
I mean, I feel like it's an eventuality. I know. Like it's, we have everybody talks about it. It'd be like if somebody was like, I've never watched The Walking Dead. It's like, yeah, everybody watched
it. We haven't finished The Walking Dead.
But we've watched it. So we
can at least. I don't even know if Walking Dead is finished.
I don't think it is. I think it's still going on. I think they're in their last season right now, actually.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, so we should.
That is our reason to catch up.
But keeping on track with WandaVision. You know, the first two episodes, we very much saw the... Oh, okay, so spoilers, sorry, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. In the beginning of WandaVision, the first episode we saw this was very I Love Lucy, Dick Van Dyke, 1950s television
love
show, right?
It.
Very sitcom, very jokey, funny, with, you know, just little bits of like, okay, there's something else going on here, right?
Yeah.
When we see, you know, they're inviting Vision's boss over and he... starts choking on something, and the his wife, who's conveniently the mom from that 70s
show,
is going, huh, she's laughing, going, stop it, stop
Super
it. And then you
creepy.
Could see the camera angle change.
Yes.
And the depth of field changes
right.
as well. And you can very much tell that, okay, there is something else going on here. And then Wanda tells Vision to help him. And he uses his power to dislodge whatever was in, you know, the boss's throat. And then very quickly the boss and wife was like, oh, thank you so much for dinner. And they leave.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, okay, there's more to this than we thought. And then I want to say that one, you saw it pan out of the hexagonal screen and there's like a person with a notebook.
Oh,
and
yes.
It's got
watching
and it's got the sword
the
logo.
Show.
So for those that are not familiar with sword, sword is it's
sentient
weapon observational response division. But it wasn't originally... weapon. It was Sentient Worlds.
Okay.
Was what it was originally, like in the comic books. So obviously this is the development. Sword was always a branch off from Shield, whereas
yes.
Shield was more domestic and Terran based here on our world. Sword dealt with space, right?
Extraterrestrial.
Extraterrestrial was built outside of, which we kind of see with Nick Fury at the end of Far From Home, right?
Yeah.
Where we see him on some sort of spaceship with Skrulls and agents
right.
and whatnot. So there's something else that's bigger than
which
what
I can't
seen.
Wait till all of that plays out. Goodness, because apparently Fury has just been out vacationing in space.
Yeah, and well, and the fact that he's getting his own thing
yeah.
now, like that's huge. That series is going to be massive. But I think with this, like seeing Sword, having that recognition and knowing that there's more going on there. The second episode is the talent show, which now we've progressed a little bit into like the 60s. It's a little bit more. I'm trying to think what other shows it would.
Like, well, they went 70s, Brady Bunch.
Well, that was 70s, was Brady Bunch. By the time they go into color, like full on cover
right.
color. And that's like the end of the second episode going into the third episode. But the second episode, I guess it's a little bit more of an extension still of like the Dick Van Dyke.
It felt like the same to me. I didn't
feel a huge difference between the first two. But in that second one, you know, they're doing the talent show and whatnot, and they're trying to kind of hide their powers. But we see the splash of color, right? Like the helicopter that has the
yes.
sword symbol on it. The blood red when the one person...
When Dottie.
Yeah, when she cuts her hand. Oh,
yeah.
And same thing, the commercial in the first one where they're talking about the toaster made by Stark Industries
yes.
and the light blinks red.
The toaster, yeah.
So it's a little bit of color that we start to see. In the second episode is you see the beekeeper come up out of the sewer,
yeah.
right? And at first, I thought it was AIM. So AIM
okay.
is Advanced Idea Mechanics, which we've seen referenced in Iron Man 3. Which Marvel Cinematic Universe is created by Aldrich Killian, but AIM in the comic books was like that was MODOK's like big thing,
yes.
right? Was like here we're and we refer to them as beekeepers because of their weird like hazmat style
right.
suits with the one with the window, big beekeeper style window helmet.
Yes.
At this point, he comes out of the sewers and we're thinking AIM, and you can't really see the logo on his back, but apparently it is a sword logo, which
oh,
we
yeah.
find out more in four episode
right.
four. Wanda just says no. It rewinds. The conversation changes.
Yes.
So we see at that point that Wanda is more in control of
yes.
what is happening.
She is controlling the reality.
Yeah. So this is more of a tap into her powers, right? What is she able to do? Vision oblivious to what's happening.
I know.
Vision is a player in her world.
Well, because yeah, he's a player, like you just said. She has created him. She has brought him back in some way. Because he's, from what I think, is he's not back. Obviously, he is dead. When you fast forward to the newest episode, we see, you know, that he is not here anymore. That was creepy. Yeah, the vision.
That was a hard moment.
That was like horror film.
It really was.
I was not expecting that.
Well, it was really jarring, but it gave me that little pop of hope that I'm like, Doctor Strange 2 is going to be epic. They can play into just those little scare tactics without it being over the top gore, but it is just like little like surprise. I'm totally on board for that. Because remember, guys, like this is what this is building up to. Like this is, we already know that Elizabeth Olsen's Scarlet Witch will make an appearance in Doctor Strange 2 in the Multiverse of Madness.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, right. But we don't know if Vision will. They haven't announced any of that. We just know that Scarlet Witch will make the appearance. But this show has been said to give her moniker of the Scarlet Witch, because she's not known as that. She's just known as Wanda.
Yes.
But this will give her moniker. In the third episode, now we're in color. It's a bit more Brady Bunch at this point.
Love it.
Geraldine is the little hip, you know, friendly person in town who we find is not someone that belongs.
Not from the neighborhood.
And we see the neighbors are certainly going to skew. Like the one neighbor, Herb, is grinding through their
cement blocks.
That we start thinking, okay, is this somebody trying to break in? And this is subconscious in Wanda that people are trying to get through to wherever she is.
Or
like when we heard Agent Wu on the radio going, Wanda, who has you?
Or is Herb trying to break out?
Yeah. Which way could it be, right?
Because we already know he's in, because at that point he's talking to Vision and he's asking, you know, is Geraldine in there with Wanda?
Yeah, and they're worried.
And they look very worried, and you know, Vision's like, yes, why? And he's like, well, because we're all, and then gets cut off by Agnes?
Yeah, Agnes. Yeah,
yeah, gets cut off by Agnes. So it's like, what was he going to say? I thought he was going to say, we're all trapped here.
Right.
And I think
it did seem like it was leading to that.
Yeah, like we're all trapped. So I feel like it's a matter of time before that story will unfold. Maybe this next episode, because I think it is escalating rather quickly.
Yeah, agreed. And I think that with the... I think with what we've seen between the third episode with the twins being born, right? Billy and Tommy, who, for those that are not familiar, Billy and Tommy were young Avengers that in the comic book universe were actual characters. One is Wiccan, the other is Speedy, which obviously Wiccan tying to Wanda's powers, Speed tying to Quicksilver's powers. Yes. So you can see that these are hereditary. The other aspect of this that's really interesting is the fact that in House of M and then Avengers Disassembled, that whole storyline circles around this idea, this storyline where Wanda does create an alternate reality where she does have kids with Vision, which obviously is biologically impossible, and that they're trying to shake her out of this alternate reality that she's trying to create. And she, ultimately what she does is she's trying to create a reality where everybody gets their happy ending.
Yeah.
Like everyone. Like Logan has his memories. He's known as James, and he's a SHIELD agent. You know what I mean? Like everybody gets like a happy ending.
Yeah. So who would not want that to happen, exactly. Right? Who wouldn't want their happy ending?
But because Logan knows what his previous reality was. So he's the one that knows there's something not right.
Always.
Very great storyline. If you guys haven't read it, I highly recommend it. So I don't know if we're going to get all of that in this, but there are a lot of really interesting nods to other characters that we can see that maybe down the road play an influence. Episode 4. Starts off vastly different. It's not the TV show fun music intro that is very period piece.
No,
you know, because in episode 3 was like, I Dream a Genie was like the beginning sequence, you know?
No, this was very much a Marvel movie in theaters experience. That's what we got.
100%.
That we were watching Endgame for a second.
It did.
Or Infinity War at that, because that's when we would have seen them.
Well, when you start to see the molecules reassemble and then
I'm like, oh my God, this is happening right now.
Yeah, Monica Rambeau reappears in a seat in a hospital next to an empty hospital bed, going out looking for her mother, for Maria Rambeau. And then she learns that Monica's been gone for 5 years. Her mother died 3 years ago from cancer. The cancer was beaten, then it returned, and she passed.
Thankfully, a nurse recognized her and said, you disappeared and you know your mom passed away a few years ago. None of it makes sense. Can you imagine that?
Hearing that,
like people coming back from the blip, because that is now what we call it. I feel like they could have called it something else, but blip is funny. I feel like it worked for Spider-Man because it was silly,
right?
But then I gotta remember, wait, the whole Marvel universe is going to use blip as that's what this moment in time was called. It's so silly.
They could have called it like the event, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like something, but yeah, Blip was a little,
I think it worked
throwaway.
For Spider-Man. It was for sure funny, but yeah. I didn't think like it's going to be used
like
now.
The news agencies yeah. pulled it from like this
the
kid
blip.
Broadcast from Queens.
Blip. So yeah. So one thing maybe I would have changed, but yeah, we are so used to seeing them, you know, disappear. I think in Far From Home, we did see it was the marching band that shows back up in school. So we got to see like a fun side, like, oh my God, haha, look at people are showing back up. This is so silly. We just witnessed a hospital that, you know, people are returning.
Yeah.
The most horrific place, you know, to have left from and come back to.
And not know what's happened. And that it has been 5 years since you were last there. Like we talked about, you know, just off air earlier today, talking about like, well, what if you were like in an airplane?
Yeah.
Right? Do you reappear 30,000 feet above the air or do you reappear on the ground somewhere? Like,
will we get clarity?
I feel like that's a Pandora's box they probably don't want to open, but it is like, it gives you a little bit more of the other side of what happened. Like, we all saw, like, oh, the Avengers came back and here they come through the portals, right?
Yeah.
But like, this is the other side. This is how normal people had to cope with coming back from something that ultimately is life altering.
Well, and the vibe that I got from when all of the superheroes were coming back, they kind of had, you know, their bearings. They knew what was happening. It seemed like they knew where they were coming from.
Right.
But they're also superheroes. So I guess you get why they kind of understood. Everybody else felt like, you know, they just disappeared for a few seconds. And I'm sure the superheroes also felt like they just disappeared for a few seconds as well, or minutes, I think she was saying. It felt like, it, you know, just a couple minutes, or I fell asleep for like 15 minutes, I feel like she said. Monica said, but I like, why are they so aware of what was happening? And then all these people that are coming back are like, what the heck is happening? So I don't know if we'll ever get questions for that. What were they doing in those couple of minutes in their lives? That was 5 years for ours. Yeah. I don't know. A lot of things that will hopefully be answered one day.
It's a lot to unpack.
It
and
is.
I think that's what gets it. That's what makes it almost so interesting, because there is so much more you want to know. And like, this gave us 5 minutes that we never got in Endgame.
Yeah.
That gave us a whole wider spread of how impactful this event ultimately was.
In a TV show at that. Like, you expect that from the next, whatever big film was coming up next from Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, you're not expecting it from a Disney Plus series.
No.
But that just shows the caliber of what the Disney Plus shows are going to hold.
Yeah.
Like, for when Loki show comes out, when Falcon and Winter Soldier comes out. All of these shows that are going to, you know, be on Disney Plus are not going to hold back anything. And they are going to progress all of the storylines.
And keep in mind that these series pretty much butt up one next to the other, right? Because this is going to be, you know, we're at we're episode 4, week 3. We've only got another 5 weeks to go. Yeah. And then by the time we are mid-March, then we're already into Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I love it. Because
that's going to go, I think, 6 weeks for that one, because those are closer to an hour-long episode.
Yes.
And then after that, we move into Loki, the Loki series, which I think
back to back, Marvel.
I think Loki again is going to be closer to like Falcon and Winter Soldier, where it's pretty close, 45 minutes to an hour. That's what Kevin was saying to us, is that it's ultimately, try to keep it about 6 hours, and then it's either going to be 5 to 6 hours. It's either going to be truncated into like 20 to 30 minute episodes, and it'll be closer to 8 or 9 episodes in total, or it'll only be 6 episodes because they'll be longer for each one of them.
But aren't you so happy that we are back in the middle of Marvel taking over again?
Yes.
Because throughout the pandemic, I think what we needed was Marvel, and we didn't have anything.
Yeah.
Because Black Widow had to keep getting pushed back. There was no new shows. And that was happening anyway. Everything was getting pushed back. But we weren't supposed to get these shows later anyway.
Right.
So,
well, let's be fair. Not everything was pushed back, because we still got Trolls World Tour. And we still got Sonic the Hedgehog. So, I mean, like, there were certain movies that they were like, no, full steam. And Scoob. Like, those were the ones that were full steam ahead.
Well, because there was a lot of shows that were already...
No, I know. I'm just picking.
That's most things, though.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Those shows don't typically... They're not as contingent on box office success as, like, Black Widow would be, right? Because we did get Mulan in the streaming services.
Yep.
So, I mean, there were certain things that were alternate.
And it kind of seems like that's the way of the world right now. That's how Hollywood is going to release what they can, because they can't just keep things on hold. You know, they have the money that's already been put into these projects, and they need to see the fruits of their labor in some form or another.
Yeah.
Sure, it's not going to be box office numbers, but that's going to be, I want to say, years down the road before we even get to that again.
Yeah.
So what do? They put everything in on their streaming services. They just got to do that. And it has worked out for Disney.
Yeah.
By releasing Disney Plus when they did. I mean, we can look at it as a conspiracy theory. Obviously, Disney was the one who made the pandemic happen because they needed Disney Plus to, you know, just beat everything else.
They wanted that subscriber number to just blow through the roof. I'm sure there's a Reddit thread.
Oh, you know that's a conspiracy going on.
But one thing that I want to touch on, obviously the scale of that beginning sequence, right? The scale of the beginning of this episode, but then they don't take their foot off the gas. Like, we learn that Monica is a S.W.O.R.D. agent.
Yeah.
Her mother was basically the head honcho, the director, but her mother's obviously gone. Somebody else stepped in because Monica was gone.
Yes.
But her mother did have contingencies in place because she always believed that someday Monica would come back,
right?
Which is obviously, you know, it's heartbreaking, but it's also really cool that she had that faith, right? She had that focus that these things would happen. So obviously there's the anomaly with what's happening in Westview, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Monica is supposed to team up with Agent Wu,
yes,
who we saw in Ant-Man and the Wasp. Last saw in Ant-Man and the Wasp, really.
Uh-huh.
And they go to meet up, and then she walks up to the fence and is sucked in. And this is after having a conversation with a sheriff from Eastview that claims that Westview does not exist.
Here is
a town. Here is a sign that says Westview, New Jersey. Population, you know, 5,800 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So something obviously is going on here. And then we know why Monica, when she's in there, is Geraldine instead of Monica, right?
Yes.
But she does slowly start to realize who she is and what knowledge she has.
Because she needs to follow along with the script.
Yeah, with, like, what's happening.
Yeah, you are in Wanda's reality. You are not in your own reality anymore. Wanda has created this. And whether or not she has taken a town that really does exist, or taken a town that doesn't exist at all, but somehow people from the surrounding towns have, you know, bled into it some way just to make it, I guess, more believable for Wanda's sake. She doesn't care, you know, how everybody else is coping with them being away from their loved ones, because all that matters is that she has Vision and her happy, you know, ending is going to continue. And when something is not right, or somebody is not following along, or, you know, I guess coming to, let's rewrite it. Let's rewrite that script. Change, you know, the reality again.
So, and something that's really interesting about that too is this idea that these are players in Wanda's world, right?
Yes.
This is Wanda's vision, if you will. And what this episode does, as we bring in Darcy from the Thor movies,
yay,
right? Darcy Lewis. She figures out that the radiation that is being emitted is also overlapping with broadcast waves, and
right,
then utilizing old TV technology, you know, rear projector technology, she's able to visualize what is occurring in the town, that we can see that it is a broadcast television show, that this is the way that Wanda is living out whatever this experience is that she's living. Now, what's interesting about this is they do start to do facial recognition on people that are in the town. And then they're saying, like, hey, this character is being played by this person in real life. So you can see that these are real life people that are in this town. These are not creations of Wanda's. These are not fake people. These are real
somehow
people.
Somehow she
this
has
town.
Brought real people to her town.
Now, the caveat to that, and I'd have to go back and watch the episode again, but I don't see Agnes in there.
No.
There's not a point where they say so-and-so is playing Agnes.
No, Agnes has not been shown, and Dottie has not been shown.
Gotcha.
So, and Dottie was the one who cut
her hand.
Yes,
the blonde that's like the head of their little...
So she seems to be either an agent or somebody from another side.
Yeah. There is something more behind them. Now, this is where you drift a little bit into the conspiracy stuff, right? So Tim had pointed this out to me, Tim Page, the one and the only Tim Page, had pointed this out to me, that Wanda always calls Vision Viz or Vision, always. That's it. Those are the names she calls him.
What else would you call him?
At one point, she calls him Darling after changing one of the realities, after skipping something that has happened. She refers to him as Darling. It's the only time she ever refers to him as that.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the theories is that there is a villain behind all of this that is making an impact on Wanda to do these things for some sort of reason. There's got to be something behind the scenes that is happening. People believe it might be Mephisto.
Yeah.
Now, Mephisto, for those that don't know, is the Marvel Comics version of the devil, of Satan.
Yeah.
It's Mephisto. He has similar powers to Wanda in the fact that he can change reality. He played a very huge part in the comic book run of Infinity Gauntlet.
Yes.
So from the 6-issue series, which obviously Infinity War and Endgame were based off of, Mephisto plays a very large part. We've also seen in the trailers for the Loki TV series, at one point Loki is about to shake hands with somebody and there's a stained glass window up against the wall and it is depicting Mephisto in the window itself.
Ooh.
So we know that there are at least little nods, little Easter egg ties in there. If this is Mephisto, and we have no clear evidence of it other than the hexagons.
Mm-hmm.
How many sides does a hexagon have?
I don't know.
Six. 666. Hexagonal, right? What do you, in the comics, what did they always refer to Wanda's powers as? Hex power.
Ooh.
She casts a hex. So that's why they think the hexagonal has some sort of significance in what is happening, right? So I don't know if it's Mephisto. I also heard at one point it might be Nightmare was another character. That's another Doctor Strange villain who obviously can, you know, his powers exist in a nightmare realm, in a dream state, in a dream realm. Something that I think, and this ties into Agnes, is that in the comics, Agatha Harkness is a character. She's an older woman that wears the exact same brooch that Agnes is wearing in the show itself. And she was the one that encouraged Wanda to warp the reality so that she could have
her happy ending
because she felt that Wanda needed to have that because otherwise she would destroy the world. She had the capability to destroy all realities. Mm-hmm. So she needed her to create a reality in which she could be happy. Otherwise, there would be devastation untold, which obviously we see that as she starts to pass out and she does the No More Mutants.
Right.
And then we have the creation of the 198, which obviously there's more than 198 mutants, but vast number of mutants across the galaxy lose their mutant powers.
Right.
They're depowered mutants at that point. I don't know if we're going to get into all of that in the show because obviously mutants haven't been established, but this could be the keystone to create mutants. Yes. Or she does something that now people that had powers lose powers. Well, and how do you cope with that?
Also, when Darcy is talking about like the CMBR or whatever, all of the like radiation
wave,
and all
yeah.
that stuff, that she keeps mentioning that it was like tied back to the Big Bang.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. World creation, right?
Yes. Why? What are we creating? Chris had a good, Chris Orta, for those who don't know, he had a thought of maybe this is how the multiverse is actually created.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so.
Because they touch on it in Spider-Man, but it was actually not really the multiverse that was created.
Right.
Because, you know.
Yeah, I mean, because the only tie we've really had with multiverse so far is in Doctor Strange, where they talk about, well, no, because we've had it in Endgame, right? The alternate realities where,
yes.
like, Hulk goes and Ancient One talks about, like, okay, if you create this, it'll change the reality and create something completely different. And now we already know that there is a reality out there where Loki is running through time with the Time Stone. So certain realities are already starting to branch off. And I think that this absolutely could
somehow continue
to splinter and create alternate realities.
And they're like some of these people are going in and out of these realities that weren't supposed to, but they are figuring it out. And maybe Wanda is trying to find her reality that is going to suit her needs.
Or someone is trying to force her to create a reality to suit
their needs. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That she is a conduit for somebody to get what they want, which i.e. could be Nightmare, could be Mephisto.
Yeah.
Who knows? It could be Agnes Harkness. Agatha Harkness, aka Agnes in the show. So I think there's a lot of possibilities in here. As we said, we really don't know which one is true. As you alluded to earlier, the very horrifying moment that you can see whether this is just a reanimated vision that
I don't
Wanda
think he's
is
back.
Forcing, or if she just sees it because in her mind's eye she knows that she had to bring him back from what he was.
I think that's what is there. I think it is dead Vision in a sense, and she is creating a
a live vision. Like this is, you know, her like creating. I really do think, and she slipped because what was going on with Geraldine, you know, like she's losing it because people are coming in the neighborhood. She's, you know, you're not my neighbor. You know, you don't belong here. People are catching on to her. So she's losing it a little bit. And the more that other people aren't, you know, in her storyline and they are branching out, it's taking her out of her storyline. And then she is remembering, the reality is that that Ultron killed my brother. The reality is that Vision is no longer with me.
Yeah.
So she can't hold on to it forever.
Right.
Somebody is going to, you know, make her crack.
And I was thinking about that too, is like the more that she's creating, the more people that are introduced, the more she's losing her grip on this reality. So I think that her realm of influence weakens the longer this prolongs itself, right? The longer that this continues. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go.
And now she has babies to worry about.
Yeah, now she has babies to worry about as well. Billy and Tommy. I think this show is absolutely fantastic. I think that they've done an amazing job introducing it and then flipping it in a way that it wasn't going to be the same old tired routine week in and week out. Mm-hmm. Like we get to see something a little bit different each time. And it's really pulling us into the folklore of Wanda and Vision and where do these guys end up, because ultimately she is probably the most powerful person in MCU. Like you can argue Doctor Strange, you can argue Captain Marvel, but ultimately I really think that Wanda, bar none, is the most powerful person in the MCU, really, until maybe the Eternals are introduced.
Yeah, but we've talked about that. I think since Infinity War. Or was it Endgame? I don't know. Whichever one. But
Endgame, where she grabs Thanos.
But even before, I think before Endgame, we were talking about like who can actually defeat Thanos. And she was our big heavy hitter.
Yeah.
And this, I think because with such strong powers, that does lead to a bigger downfall and to even more evil. Depending on, you know, what happens with Vision, if she does come to the reality of, or her baby's getting taken from her, or, you know, if she does have to let go of what she's doing, does she lose her kids or do they just get taken? Like, because she's created it. It's not real.
Yeah.
Like, are her kids real?
Well, not only that, but remember the pregnancy was a matter of minutes, right? Like this progressed incredibly fast. So the children are going to age quickly as well. I don't anticipate them to be babies the entirety of the show. I imagine them to age rapidly, which will give us access to these characters should they want to do Young Avengers, right? Like I think that would be fantastic because you have characters like Stature, right? You have Cassie Lang, Scott Lang's daughter. You have Stature. They're introducing Kate Bishop in the Hawkeye show. Mm-hmm. You've got Billy and Tommy now. Like the possibility is there. Morgan Stark.
Yep.
You know, like there are that right there. That's a team of five. You're good. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can throw Hulkling in there. We're good to go. So I love the possibilities that this show is presenting. And I think that this will probably be the most ambitious of all of the shows that they're launching for right now. I think down the road, like what we talked about before with Nick Fury with Secret Invasion, that's going to be massive. That's going to be above and beyond anything else. But I think out of this, you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier, Loki, Hawkeye, She-Hulk, Miss Marvel, Moon Knight, I think this one to me is going to set the bar very, very high.
Mm-hmm. That's why it is first of these Marvel shows. Marvel is doing again what they did a decade ago. Where they were setting things up for the future. And I don't understand how Kevin Feige's brain works this way. Yes, he does have a plethora of comics to look back on, and it's already
writers and creators. Yes.
Everybody who's working at Marvel Studios. But it's amazing to me that you know, they set up that first decade of all of our favorite films, and the world, you know, had been on Marvel's, you know, beck and call, just waiting for that next movie to come out. We all did it. Like, that was a huge part of our, you know, last 10 years for sure. And now that, you know, things are being changed over, we're not going to have the Tony Starks and the Steve Rogers, but there has been talk that, you know, they can return, you know, whenever they so choose or whenever it fits with the storylines, you know, depending on what that's going to be. They will come back. That's a plus and promising, because we will miss them, but
they're doing it again.
Yeah.
They're setting it all up again. And I think we are going to be just as like invested as we were in the last decade.
Agreed. I think that plenty more to come.
Yes. So
awesome. So guys, definitely let us know what guys and gals, let us know your thoughts on WandaVision. Are you watching? Are you not watching? If you're not watching, why are why you not, not watching?
Or did it, maybe you watched the first episode. Did it put you off? I worried about that.
Yeah.
I worried that people would see that first episode and think this is nothing.
That's not what I wanted.
Yeah. Like this is not the story I thought I was going to get, because maybe a lot of these people don't read the comics and don't know the backstories for these characters. So they can't see that first episode and know where it's going to go. So they think like, I'm already tuned out.
Yeah.
Don't. Like really stick with it. It escalates so quickly. And I think we are going to get a lot of, you know, well, just in this last episode, yeah. In the fourth episode, I think it kind of answered all of our questions.
Paid off.
We were, you know, I think the main question was, what the heck is Wanda doing? You know, is this real? Is somebody doing this to her, or what's happening? From right now, we have gathered that yes, Wanda has created this reality, but is there somebody over her that is forcing her to her to create this reality. So
nice.
I don't know.
So, yeah. So when we post this either on Twitter or Instagram, feel free to comment if you guys have questions, if you guys have theories as well. And we'd love to talk, you know, add your theories to our theories here on the show.
Yeah.
Perfect. Like, so let's move into some of the other stuff that we've recently been watching.
Well, do we want to stick with Disney Plus and talk about some of our favorite things from Disney Plus other than WandaVision?
Yeah, we absolutely
can. Talked about Mandalorian the last episode.
Sure,
we know that was kind of like, I think, the huge hitter for Disney Plus.
Yes.
Everybody and their mom loves that.
Well, that was the launch, right? When they first launched it, the big selling point was, here's your very first live action Star Wars show of all time.
Other than their, you know, original movies. That some of them were good, some of them were I could have done without, but I'm not mad at them for creating them. I think it's like things like Lady and the Tramp, you know, some things I could have done without, but it's, I bet a lot of people out there do enjoy it. I know I have a lot of family members who did enjoy that film. Right. So it's something that I think Disney Plus is the perfect outlet for Disney to continue to make all the things that they want. If they want to keep making remakes, do whatever the heck you want. You know, if put it in your effort into there, because they're still giving us awesome original content other than that.
Well, think about the popcorn shorts, right? The Pixar popcorn shorts just came out, like super quick, short little episodes. The other Mickey shorts that came out, not the original run,
the
but
Wonderful
this newer
World
run.
Of Mickey.
Yeah, like, you know, just a little bit longer episodes. So much fun. And it's just, they're bite size, right? It's something simple for you to be able to watch real quick and kind of move on. You know, I don't think for me, I kind of think I want more to the TV shows. I want more of like the tent pole. Here's a television program. Like, I think something like Mulan actually would have been really well served as
a series.
Like, I think that could have built out, especially with the world that they built in this live action Mulan, where here she has almost like a team of martial artists that she could command, that she could work with, and they go on missions and adventures and all these different things. I think there was a lot of untapped potential there. That's not to say that's not something that they do down the road.
But again,
maybe they do, but
that was supposed to be a theatrical release.
For sure. No,
so,
I know.
So we lucked out and they, you know, we're like, we can't put this off any longer. Let's, you know, put it out for them.
But when you think about what have our biggest complaints really been with Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast and Mulan, is they don't deviate enough from the source material.
Right.
Lion King, same. Lion King was
exactly animation.
Word for word, the same thing.
Yes.
I would love to see them do something like that where they're like, look, we're going to take an iconic character that you're familiar with. And instead of telling the same story, we're going to bridge it. We'll give you elements of what you felt before, but let us build out this character in a way that is maybe unexpected.
Well, I think I enjoyed that with like what they did with Maleficent. Let's tell a different side of the story.
100%.
What they plan to do with Cruella. How are they going to make a dog hater lovable?
A dog killer.
Yeah, lovable. I don't know. I really have no idea. I don't have plans to like her, but it's Emma freaking Stone and I adore Emma Stone. So how am I going to hate her? I don't know. But I think they will pull it off. I like that. I like that they're taking a character from something that we know and love and they are changing it up a little bit. I don't mind that they do the remakes. It's just, it's more fun, I think, when they give you something new to go with it. Or like you said, add an element to it that progresses the story, I guess, in a different way, not the same exact way. But that's, again, what's great about Disney Plus. Put it on your streaming service because
then you can choose to not watch it if you don't want to. You're spending the money you would have spent monthly anyway on a service for other things that are on there, like WandaVision, like The Mandalorian, you know, shows that you know you enjoy. But I think once we get into more of the Marvel shows or back to back to back, I don't see anything beating Disney Plus for a long time. It's once again, it's Disney's annoying because they're, you know, they're killing the game, whether it's movies, whether it's at the parks, whether, you know, now it's streaming service.
100%. So, and I think with us not having access to the movies, to the parks, this is a nice way to still get that Disney fix and for a fairly low monthly fee.
Right. So. And if you, you know, want more of the park stuff, jump into the documentaries. There's so many on there. I think that we jumped into at the beginning of Disney Plus being released, like, what is it? Like One Day at Disney or something.
Yeah.
All of those where it goes behind the scenes of people and cast members that work, whether it's in the parks, whether it is, you know, Imagineering or on movies, wherever, or news, you know, reports. They even talk to like the newscasters. It's so nuts. But they go, if you work, have a job at Disney, they touch on it. And I love that. It's because there's so many of us who wish we could work for the Disney company or are just interested to see what is, you know, what is it like to be the stable runner at, you know, Disneyland. Like, that's so cool to me.
What was that one series that they did that they were basically like a treasure hunt where the guy would go and he'd try to find a particular prop, right? Where it was
prop culture.
There
that was a good one.
Yeah. I love that. Like even something simple where like he finds like the vest that Gonzo wore in like the Great Muppet Caper or something like that. And he actually sits down with Gonzo and is like, do you remember the vest? Can you tell me about the story?
Right.
And doing like these behind the scenes, you know, they talk about, I want to say it's like the umbrella head from Mary Poppins, you know, like little things like that, like really important iconic things or moments from Disney history and really being able to deep dive that stuff. You know, I love that. I love those little things because it gives you a deeper appreciation for the things that aren't just the actors.
Yes. The Imagineering story was also a good one.
Yeah.
I think that was the one that went behind the scenes with Walt Disney.
Yeah. It was like three or four
the decades of Disney since its creation, or I don't know if it was the whole Disney company, right? Yeah, or was it just Disneyland?
No, I want to say it's everything because they were talking to Michael Eisner. You know what I mean? And they were doing some interviews with him and like some of the difficulty that he faced,
right,
you know, from when he first came on and there was a lot of success with the Disney Renaissance and then kind of that fall off.
Yeah. Before, so it was like, you know, basically
Bob Iger took over.
It was Disney decades. Basically they were like, let's show the, you know, ups and downs from the beginning to now to what's current. And I think they're talking about projects, you know, that are going in all of the other parks as well and new things that'll be coming to Disneyland.
Yeah.
So that was a good one. I think it was called The Imagineering Story. So documentaries for sure have been a huge plus. I'm huge on a lot of animal stuff. So I love that National Geographic is a part of Disney Plus now because they have so many animal shows. And they have also put in animals at Animal Kingdom. So you can, there's a series that follows along all of the, you know, the people who take care of the animals, whether it's in Animal Kingdom or if it's, you know, in Epcot at, you know, the aquarium. So, I love that
like
series.
Like the episode where they were training the birds to fly, you know, for the show, like to fly from one spot to the next spot. Like
things you don't really think about, but here you go. You have a documentary now that follows along with, you know, veterinarians and all of these biologists that, you know, get to deal with animals in Disney. Yeah. I want their job.
Right?
Like that would be the job I want.
Dreams right there. That's the dream job. And I like that because I think that that's some of the stuff we probably didn't expect when Disney Plus was first getting announced, right? We were expecting like, okay, we'll have all the old cartoons like Darkwing Duck, right? Or you know, the DCOM movies of old. All of the stuff that you're like, okay, Disney has a fairly expansive catalog. So we knew there was going to be a bunch of good stuff on there. But I don't think any of us anticipated just the sheer volume. We haven't gotten through a fraction of the amount of stuff that's on there because we do tend to gravitate towards the old faithfuls, right? Like how many times have we watched Star versus the Forces of Evil?
So many times. Gravity Falls.
Yeah, Gravity Falls. The new DuckTales series is probably one of our favorites.
Yes. If you guys have not watched the new DuckTales series because maybe you didn't have cable when it came out, you can catch at least two seasons?
First two seasons, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the third season that is on, that's airing now, is going to be the last one.
Right.
So can't wait for that one to come on.
Yeah,
but
once it's done, then they'll dump it.
It's
on Disney
amazing.
Plus. Yeah.
I think a huge selling point to that is every time we hear Ben Schwartz now in something, it's Dewey Duck. Always. So like we just watched him as Sonic. It was Dewey Duck playing Sonic. What else did we watch him in? He was in that space show on Netflix. He's in
Space Force. I think
it might be Space Force.
Yeah. And then he was also in,
Middleditch and Schwartz.
Yeah, that's super good.
Which I guess this could segue into other things that we have been watching.
Yeah.
I would say, because we talked, what are things that we've enjoyed on other services? I think on Netflix, Middleditch and Schwartz was probably my favorite thing to come.
So it's
in this last year.
Yeah. And they're two comedians, improv comedians, and it's three episodes of them just doing improv in front of a live studio audience. And they basically just ask people in the theater. They're like, you know, they pick one person, they say, give us a situation. They'll ask them a couple questions, and then they have to completely like create an entire
comedy sketch
based on whatever that event was. It's hilarious. We were like peeing our pants laughing. It was so good.
Yeah. I can't wait for more.
That I think the comedy stuff on Netflix is top notch.
Right.
Peaky Blinders, I think we've mentioned before. That's probably one of my favorite like drama shows that are on any of the streaming services at all. I absolutely loved Peaky Blinders.
Yep.
There's some really good anime. I'm a big anime fan. You like anime as long as the theme song's really catchy.
Which then we touched on the last episode. I don't think there was too much from Netflix that we've taken from.
They've gone really adult in a lot of the newer stuff that they've released, and it's not stuff that we can watch with the kids present, right? It's all got to be stuff that we have to wait for them to fall asleep that then we can try to watch. Like, I would love for you to watch Altered Carbon.
Yes, I need to watch that.
We cannot watch that with the kids awake. I wouldn't even really want to watch it with them asleep, because I don't want them to hear what's happening subconsciously.
They're little baby nightmares.
Yeah, like that's therapy I don't want to have to pay for in 10 to 15 years, right? So I think,
keep having dreams that I'm in somebody else's body.
It's just, I don't know. I'm being stabbed, but I don't feel it. I don't know. You know, there's certain things that just, I don't know if that's particularly what we can watch right now. But then you go on the flip side of it, right? Something like we had said with the Apple TV. Not something we ever would have gotten. Right?
No.
We
didn't plan to, at least.
No, we didn't.
I think the selling points were, from what Apple TV was putting out, was that news show, Good Morning.
Yeah, that good, the Good
Morning. With Jennifer Aniston, Steve Carell, Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
So I've started watching
it. The Morning Show, isn't it just called The Morning
Show? It might be The Morning Show. I think that was their selling point. That one wasn't a big enough show for us to be like, we need Apple TV to watch it. No. I started watching it because we have it. But I had come across an email, and I don't know if it came from AT&T or Apple, but they were like, hey, you get a year free. Try it out. I'm like, I like free stuff. I will put an alarm in my phone to cancel you before you start charging me. Yes, I will take it. So I put it on, and what do you know? One of our favorite shows has come from Apple TV, which is a soccer show called Ted Lasso.
Yes.
Which
is Jason Sudeikis, the comedian.
Yes.
And this was a sketch that he would do on like NBCSN, like for promos for the Premier League. And it was like a joke that he was going to be the new coach of Tottenham Hotspur. They decided to take this random sketch character and create an entire show where he is an American football coach that, a la Major League, like the old movie Major League, jilted ex-wife of the owner of a European football club, like a soccer club. She basically wants the club to fail, so she hires this coach from college to coach soccer, who he has never coached soccer, like he has never coached soccer before, or you know, European football,
or played it, or knows how it's played.
Nope. So he brings his assistant coach with him, and their job is to basically keep this team in the Premier League, which it's AFC Richmond, which is not a real team. It's a fake team for the show. And that's his job. And my friends on Twitter that are other West Ham fans had been raving about the show, and I was like, whatever. And then you were like, oh yeah, no, I saw a trailer for it. I could have sworn I showed you this. And I was like, you never showed this to me. And we watched the entire series in one night. It was just 100% fired on all
cylinders.
It's
not what I expected it to be.
No.
I think when you were telling me that it came from a comedy sketch, I'm thinking like, oh, this is going to be just one of those like stupid throwaway shows. And then you hear the premise of it, like, oh, really? A coach, a football coach that's going to go coach soccer? How stupid. You know, like this is one of those 90s movies, like, or, you know, old, just...
It's family, Mighty Ducks, but with soccer.
Family films that is, it's cute, but it's not going to be anything.
this hits hard. Like it hits on all real topics. It is funny. Yes.
But if you're a soccer or football fan, you will adore it. And even if you're not, it'll still hit you from the dramatic aspect of it.
Yep.
And they don't spend a lot of time on like the sports.
No.
It's mostly just the interactions and the relationships.
It is more on the relationships. It's, you know, what's going on with the coach, what's going on with the wife that has been left, and you know, her story. What is the reason why she brought this coach in? I would say give it a shot. If you like dramedy, I guess it would be, watch the show. You will love it.
Balances it perfectly.
Find your free Apple subscription year, whatever. Maybe you only get a month now. Who knows? Maybe I lucked out. But if you get that free year, I'd say take it, because we also came across this show called Trying, which we just watched yesterday and binge watched in a night because it was good. So this one is about a couple who are trying to conceive, find out that they can't have babies, and they decide to go through the adoption process. And that's what the series is. I think it was like 8 or 9 episodes that follows along what their lives are like throughout this adoption process.
And it's really cool. It's Rafe Spall and Esther Smith, which Rafe Spall we've randomly seen in other things. Esther Smith, I haven't recognized her from anything. Ophelia Lavabond is her friend Erica, who is
Carina
from Guardians, the first Guardians movie, which is really cool. And then Imelda Staunton, who was she's in the Harry Potter series. She is
also Professor Umbridge. Maleficent.
Yeah, yes. Professor Umbridge. She's also in Maleficent. But I could not stand her in any of the previous things I'd seen her in. She kills it as the social worker in this show. She steals the show.
She's a sweetheart.
100% steals the show.
You don't think of that when you watch Harry Potter, or if you are a Harry Potter fan, you know Professor Umbridge. She sucks.
Yeah, she's like, the worst.
If that is your favorite character, you must suck too. I'm kidding. That's mean. But no, like, she is an awful character. You know, you want her to get hers in the Harry Potter films. So when you see her face, you very much are just put off immediately. And you think of that and you just don't like her in any of the films. And she tends to play that kind of similar role anyway.
Yeah.
But even in Maleficent, when she played one of the fairies and she's supposed to be sweet, I couldn't get rid of Professor Umbridge.
Yeah.
So.
Because she still looked it, like with the hair and everything. Yeah. She still had a look.
So not my favorite. Then she pops up in this and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's, you know, Harry Potter right there for sure. And then you said, yes, that is her. But we were like, no, it can't be, because she's too sweet.
Yeah.
She's so soft. Like, you don't get those same vibes, and you want more of her in the show.
Yeah.
But she is just the social worker, so she only pops in here and there.
Yeah, her part gets, so there's more of her as the series progresses, but even when it's done, you're like, I just want an episode of just her. Just a day in her life I would love to see.
Yeah.
But that same thing, last night we binged watched that. We were up literally all night.
Yep. Basically, Apple Plus, you've hooked us. More than likely you're gonna get our $5.
Yeah.
Once this year is up.
Yeah. So, I mean, at this point, there's tons of just really, really good stuff out there. This was some of the stuff that just we recently have gotten into.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of other stuff that we haven't even mentioned today that maybe we'll like write a list so we can give you guys some of our other recommendations. But for now, that is more than enough to tide you guys over until next week. So anything else you wanted to touch on for today's episode?
No, we'll just keep going. We're
rambling forever. But all right, guys, thanks again for tuning in. You guys know that we appreciate it so very much. You guys have been the reason this show has continued on as long as it has. We absolutely adored the comments, the well wishes, the thank you for coming back that we've gotten on social media. You know, we appreciate that you guys came back and stuck around and continued to listen, and then gave a listen to the new episodes.
Thank you for not removing us from your playlist, from your podcast list.
From your subscription
service. Yeah, there you go, your subscription list. I think that's funny when so many of them were just saying like, oh, what a pleasant surprise, because we probably just popped up and started playing and they're like, what? Is this an old episode I hadn't listened to? And then, no, sure enough, it was a new episode. But that's always surprising to me, because I know I get to the point where I'm like, if I don't, you know, follow somebody on Instagram for so long, or I'm like, I don't really care anymore, I unfollow. Like, I will stop subscribing. I am that person. So I am... was pleasantly surprised when people were still tuning in to our show.
Yeah. So for those that did tune in, thank you so much. If you don't mind reposting and letting other people know that we are back, it would be awesome to try to be able to connect with everybody again. But if not, hey, we love those that have actually tuned in. So I think that's all for this episode. As always, you guys can find us on social media at Hilt Radio, H-Y-L-T Radio on Twitter and Instagram. But that's it, Mama. So yep. Until next time, try to make the world a better place.
Need even more Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars in your life? Be sure to visit our website at HiltRadio.com for more magic like our blogs, videos, merch, and access to our archive of episodes. That's HYLTRadio.com. See you real soon.